When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey friends, welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. We're Dave and Ashley Willis. So glad you're here. We're in a series right now where we're doing some parenting quick tips based on your questions. And as always, you can write your questions to us. Best way to do that is on Instagram. We're at Dave and Ashley Willis on Instagram. Got a great question today that we haven't addressed yet. A big topic we haven't addressed.
It really is, and it's a high felt need for so many parents. And the question is this: how can I help my child succeed academically without putting too much pressure on them? Mm. And man, I mean, I think all parents at some point, when our kids are, you know, in school, we feel this. But I think especially when maybe they start having either, there's two extremes, I feel like. Well, maybe extreme is the wrong word, but there's two dynamics. I think the first time we notice it is maybe when they're struggling, like they're you know, maybe not. They're struggling in some way, like whether it be with reading or with math or, you know, keeping up with their peers. Or the other side of this is you notice they're gifted, okay? And you notice like, oh, wow, they're really ahead of their peers. And so they're like, well, how can we keep them motivated? Do we go, how hard driving do we go with this, okay?
Yeah.
And so both of those dynamics bring us to that point where we wonder like, well, how much pressure should I put on it? And should I put any pressure on them? And so, yeah, it's a hard decision to be in, and we've been there.
We have, and I mean, all four of our kids, I mean, they're smart, thankfully, but they have different levels of aptitude related to their academics,
like to school itself,
right?
Yeah,
like so, like you know, our oldest, he is always been academically inclined, academically gifted. Mm-hmm. You know, school's been pretty easy for him.
Well, he was in the gifted program.
Right. You know, he's struggled in other ways.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's had a lot of, you know, he struggled in other ways.
I would say emotionally, he was always a little behind his peers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. Now, our second kid, Connor, I think it was kind of like maybe a little bit opposite. He wasn't as into school.
I mean, he did fine.
His grades are fine.
Yeah.
But wasn't really motivated to take advanced classes or... I mean, creatively, I feel like he's brilliant.
Oh my gosh.
And
maybe our most creative. I mean, they're all creative, but yeah. And he always did great in school. Like, he's made A's and B's. It's not that. But not hard driving. Like, not...
Yeah, it's not It's not a motivation to him. He didn't have goals to go to certain colleges. He didn't have goals to...
I mean, he's going to college, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, not a certain one that's super competitive. Whereas Cooper, had his eye on a competitive school. Yeah.
You know, yeah, so he does well. I mean, he's going to do great things.
Oh, yeah.
He's so creative and talented and great with people. And now our third one, who's only a sixth grader right now, he already wants to be a mechanical engineer, go to Georgia Tech. We've joked, my own dad has said, like,
this is so funny.
He can move out, start a family, and have a job right now at 12 years old. Like, that's just kind of how he is. He's going to be an Eagle Scout. He's just very goal-driven, very goal-oriented.
And one of his goals was the gifted program. And he got in last year, which bothered him because he's so hard driving. He had to try twice to get in.
He didn't get in the first time. Which he was so
But it was
about.
Only, we're like, buddy, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Our fourth kid, he's just so laid back. School to him is mostly like playing with friends. And like how his day went, how his year's going is based on like how much fun he's having with his friends.
That's very true.
And like if he's able to do that without getting in trouble too much from his teacher.
Well, and he makes good grades, but the other day he was getting his hair cut and the lady cutting his hair was so friendly and she said, "Hey, so do you like school?" And he paused for a minute and he said, "Not really." And she's like, "Oh, is school hard for you?" And he goes, "No, I just don't like it."
Yeah, it's not. It's not that
it's
really hard for him. It's thankfully not been like really hard for any of them.
Right.
But they just have different aptitudes and they have different interests and different approaches to school. And so there's not, again, just one way of motivation isn't going to work the same with every kid. I think, again, we say this a lot. You might think you have it figured out with one kid. but then a second one's going to throw you for a curveball. And with, we got four kids that are so different from each other.
I know.
They grew up in the same house with the same values, the same parents, and they are each just so wonderfully unique and different. And that's just how God makes them. And so there's not a one-size-fits-all formula for success with any kid, whether it's academic or in other areas. But I think that you have to raise up the value of academic success.
Yes, because for sure.
This is right now, this is your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so doing a good job at your job is important in every stage of life. And it honors God. And it also opens up opportunities for you. The better you do at this, the more opportunities you're going to have in the future.
Right.
And so we're going to help you find what you thrive at, because yeah, you're not going to be equally drawn to every subject, but you have to do your best in all these classes, even the ones you don't want to take. And as you get older, you're going to be able to focus in more on what you do like. Like our oldest, who's in college now, he's able to finally start focusing in on what he enjoys, which for him has been more in the business route. And mm-hmm. And he's still figuring that out, you know, and he might change his mind, but you're able to specialize. The harder you work early, the more opportunities you have later. And so we try to motivate, not making just the biggest deal in the world about grades and test scores, because sometimes a kid's trying as hard as he can, and he's just not going to get straight A's, and that's okay. But to reward the effort and to reward good grades, and sometimes we do that with money, sometimes we do that with extra video game time, which for our younger ones is a bigger motivator than money.
Very much so.
And you just have to find what motivates them and have a system in place that values the academic success but doesn't diminish them or make them feel like a failure if they're trying to compete with another sibling or if they feel like they can't measure up.
This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
It's so well said, sweetie. And I want to say, like with Connor in particular, school wasn't necessarily super academically difficult for him, but where he had a hard time is he struggles with focus. And so second grade, really we first started noticing it in first grade, but around second grade, it became very apparent that he had some focus issues, because it wasn't that he couldn't understand the material, but he wasn't able to finish assignments because he was daydreaming or he was the kind of kid that had a motor. They say they have a motor where he's busy, he needs to be up and moving. And so when you're forcing a kid who needs to be up and moving and just feels odd sitting in a chair and at a desk all day, it makes them wander, like their mind wander. And this, I will be honest with you, I used to teach middle school, and I love school. I think obviously school is where doors open. Like when we, you know, work to the best of our ability in school, doors open and teachers are saints. And I am like all for school and for teachers and students doing their best. But I will say, you know, school is not conducive to some personality types, and whether you have attention deficit disorder or not. And I think that a lot of boys really struggle in schools, not because they can't understand necessarily, but because they're not wired to sit there for eight hours a day.
They're just not. I mean, school was the modern school structure was really designed more for girls mm-hmm. than for boys. And every kid is different. So this isn't like a universal generalization about boys versus girls, but boys tend to have a harder time sitting still for long periods of time. They tend to be more physically expressive in terms of wanting to move their bodies a lot. And the more that they're kind of forced to sit in one spot, you know, the harder it is for them to do that. So, I mean, I wish we could go back in time to when there were like 2 hours of farm work chores before school started. And everybody would just kind of be able to do that and get their wiggles out, as we say.
Yeah.
And then sit down. But just, yeah, help your kid know that, like, listen, if they're having a hard time, whether they're a boy or a girl, having a hard time sitting down that long, say, well, really, kids aren't wired to sit 8 hours a day. Adults aren't either, for that matter. You know, we need to be up and active more. And so just let them know, like, I know this is difficult. And I don't know, just affirm them in that,
right,
in that difficulty.
Well, 'cause then they feel seen. And I think for Connor, in first grade in particular, he had a teacher who, teaching itself, she was very good at, but she had never really had a lot of experience around boys with the wiggles, so we would say. And so what we started noticing is he started feeling like he was stupid because they had a chart in the room based on sitting still, not moving your desk at all. Like, and when I say moving, I'm not saying like you're trying to go out of your way to move your desk, but just, you know, organization, things like that. And those are things he really struggled with.
Oh gosh, well, he's got so much energy that it's like putting him in a straitjacket.
Yes.
To say, sit here and sit still and be quiet and just color within the lines. And that's never been him.
It's just not been him. And he really started taking that on, and it was hurting his self-esteem, and his grades started dropping.
Yeah, yeah,
and I remember I had one thing I want to say here is we've got to be our child's advocate before they can have a voice. Because when they're in those elementary school years, we can train them in this little by little at an age-appropriate level by showing them how they can assert themselves in an appropriate way while still, you know, respecting authority. And we had talked to Connor about this, but there comes a point where, as a parent, we have to be so tuned in having those open conversations with our kids that we realize when there's that tipping point where we need to take action, okay? And I would say it's okay to wait a little bit, but I would say don't wait too long, because then there's more damage being done to their self-esteem and how they view themselves. And then before you know it, they hate school and they're like going to have a lie they believe where they're like, well, I'm just not good at school.
Yeah.
And we didn't want that to happen to him. So we met with the teacher, and I realized really quickly because I was like, tell me what he's doing wrong. He says he never moves up the chart. His grades are kind of, you know, he's getting behind. And she said, well, you know, it just became clear that she did not like that he kind of wiggled a lot and that he sometimes would wander off, and there was no disrespect issue. And what it came down to with his grades was that he wasn't able to finish. And there was no accommodation at that time where it was like, well, for kids who struggle in this, give them a little more accommodation. You know, these days, if you're in a public school, at the time he was in a private school, most of our kids, we've been through public school for the majority of their education. But during this year, I was teaching at that school, and they got to go for a reduced rate. And great school, but that wasn't good for him. And there weren't any accommodations for kids with maybe some who needed a little extra help. And so, you know, we had to be his advocate. And I remember just really trying to explain to the teacher what kind of kid he is. And, you know, I think it's just important that we stay tuned in as parents to be, you know, just to understand what's going on. I remember, too, the next year, he happened to have a teacher who was kind of the opposite of that teacher in his first grade year. She herself struggled with ADHD, and she recognized it in him. And she was like, listen, let's just, you know, I want to make sure he doesn't, because she had been.
Oh, she was.
She was the best, because she said, "I thought I was stupid my whole life,"
and
really, it was an attention problem.
And fun and gifted, an amazing teacher, and man, that was a life changing year for Connor to feel seen by a teacher.
Yes,
who got him.
Mm-hmm. So, well, because she'd been through it.
She'd been through.
I mean, really, it was an answered prayer, because we really felt he was our first child who struggled in this way, and we were like, "What do we do about this?" And so she said, "You know what? You cover all your bases. Let's go talk to the doctor. Let's get him evaluated." So there's a sheet, you know, whether it's ADHD or they think your child may have dyslexia or some other learning challenges, there's always some kind of form that has to be filled out by the teacher, by the parents, and by the medical professional.
Yeah.
And so we did our due diligence and did that. And it turned out that he did, you know, have some attention issues. And then it came the point of, well, do we medicate? Do we not medicate? What do we do? And at that point, we talked a lot to his teacher, who had the experience with this, and with his doctor, and they put him on a low dose of Vyvanse, which is, you know, a medicine that can help with this. And it was absolutely life-changing for him.
Yeah, it was. It really helped him immensely. I mean,
he could finish his work.
Yeah, yeah. And then, eventually, he weaned off of that.
He did, years later.
Yeah, and then now he's not taking anything at all. And so it's not necessarily like a lifelong thing.
No. Well, we said if you can keep your grades up and be able to pay attention, because sometimes they do kind of improve in this area, we said then you don't need to be medicated, because some of the side effects are that it kind of dulls out their personality. And I guess about eighth grade, he said, let me try. and he did good. And then freshman year, it was kind of a year by year basis. He's been great.
A long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to find what do they need right now to thrive?
Right.
And then with all of it, coming back to like just a reminder, even if they have a teacher that they don't really click with, mm-hmm. one of the most important lessons we can teach our kids is to respect and honor the authority figures in their life. We talk about that a lot. And so you still honor that teacher. You still show that teacher respect. We are so pro teachers. Ashley has been a teacher mm-hmm. both in public and private settings.
Yeah.
We know how hard you work. We appreciate you so much. And
we
so, so make sure you're not having your kid look at the teacher as the enemy. Even if it's a teacher who maybe doesn't really get your child or click with your child, let them know that teacher is there for you. We need to honor and respect them and all the work that they've put in to be in that position. And yeah, we might need to have conversation with them about how to make the most of this year, but we're always going to honor them, even the ones that we maybe would not have chosen.
Because you can learn from that. Like I remember there was one year where Cooper, there was a teacher that was it was an English class. And he was like, it was a hard, he's always been very good at school. This is our oldest son we were talking about. I mean, school has relatively, I mean, he takes the hardest classes and usually gets a high A in those classes. And he started taking this English class and it was just harder than he expected. And the teacher was a bit of a hard, you know, personality as well, and didn't seem to mix with Cooper. Cooper's a strong personality, and I think this lady was too.
Yeah.
And that was a great lesson for him, because I was like, listen, your whole life, you're sometimes going to come across people in authority over you that don't have your same personality, that you don't get them, they don't get you, and you still have to show each other honor. And he was like, I don't like it. And I'm like, listen, this is a great practice. It's a great practice. And so he got through that year. He did fine in the class. And it makes you appreciate it when you have someone who does get you, you know, as your leader. But I want to say this real quick before we sign off on this episode. I think where this rub really comes in is parents helping their children with homework and thinking, like, how much pressure do I put here when you feel like we can never get through the homework time? You know, when they're probably in elementary, maybe middle school too, it's just torturous. Like, I've known parents who are like, it brings out the worst in each of us. It's hurt our relationship. I mean, I think we've had a moment or two with our kids where it's been like, oh my gosh, this is driving me crazy. I haven't had this math in forever. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, they do math wrong now.
I mean, you're like, what in the world? Like Common Core, it's different than how we did it in the 90s or whatever. But I want to say this. Sometimes that's the point where you're like, I need to reach out to other people. I need to get a tutor who's a high schooler where they're more affordable. Yep. They're really good at this stuff. Maybe you reach out to Mathnasium. We have friends who own several franchises of that, and I believe in it. It's amazing. It's an amazing resource. Maybe you go to the teacher and say, hey, can you tutor my child for 20 minutes after school? We'll pay you, but maybe you could stay a little late on Thursdays. Whatever it is, that's a way to advocate for your child as well and help them advocate for themselves. Yeah. You know, when they get to high school, that's when they really do need to be using their voice more exclusively. I mean, I'm not saying there's not a time for parents to intervene, but we've really encouraged our kids, like, you take the responsibility.
This is your academic journey. Like, we're here for you, but we're not going to be those helicopter parents.
No.
Well,
it's not teaching them anything.
It's not teaching them, because then what happens is next thing you know, they're 25 and you're going to have to go meet with their boss because they can't have a face-to-face conversation with somebody.
Or in college even. College, it's like, no, you have to handle it. And so like Connor, he was struggling in his pre-calculus class, his AP pre-calculus. And I was like, dude, you got to reach out to that teacher and see, because a lot of these teachers do have times where they will tutor or have like a session, you know, if it's a hard particular part of the curriculum. And he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, buddy, if you're going to get rewarded, because in high school, we pay our kids for their grades. They get money for A's and B's, and they have to pay us for C's. And so it gets them motivated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you want to have, I think he had a C at the time. And I'm like, you don't want to pay us. So go ahead and like, you spend that
bring
that grade up. And you know what? He brought it up.
Yeah, you got it done.
That's right.
Well, guys, that's our time for this episode. I hope that's been helpful to you. We'd love to hear your feedback. We would love to hear what questions and topics you'd like to see addressed here on Parenting Uncovered. So head over to Instagram. We're at Dave and Ashley Willis. You can find us there. And as always, you can get all our ministry's resources, not only with parenting, but with marriage and all aspects of what we do at xomarriage.com.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.